surface at a leisurely 200 kilometers per hour. Two suns grace the sky, one very bright, one very faint. My thoughts drift between sounds of music in my head. The transport ship's gentle sound as we pass over perfect countryside, dotted occasionally by silver streams and crystal structures. Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show coming up. I just thought I'd throw in a little of that in there to get the mood going for tonight. Actually, I am playing tonight, May 12, 2007, live in San Francisco. I feel so freely when I fly over air, let me tell you. Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show coming at you. Little music to start the night off. That's what I'm doing in San Francisco right now as you hear this. I'm playing, baby. Want to put everybody in the mood. We're versatile around here at bbsradio.com. We do it all. Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. Hey, Tampa Bay. Some of my music here. Yes, sir. I wrote this song after Semyazi took me for a little ride in a spaceship around the block. I never would go out of town with her. Didn't trust her. Can't trust in Pleiadian women. Get halfway to the Pleiades, you get 250 light years out there, and she says, "Son, step outside. It's black, void out there." It's definitely different. I don't want to end up like Billy Meyer and George Ademski and all those guys that went for little rides in a spaceship and came back. Barney Hill came back in the Looney Tunes bin. That's what happens, because our bodies aren't conditioned for that. At least mine wasn't. I know theirs weren't. They didn't behave the same after they had the experience. What's fun about this show? You never know what's going to happen. Never. Mean old Don Newsom will be with me tonight, too. If you hear him on the air, he chickened out, didn't show up. So if Newsom's on the air, he does a Don and Win show, you know he flaked on me. I'm in San Francisco all by myself. If he's with me, I'm going to make him sing, though. The boy's got a good voice. So does his crazy twin brother, Doug. They both sing pretty good. Y'all want to know how I did that? That's the on the flute, on a synthesizer, on a D50. I'm playing a lot of tracks at once on that one. Yep, my bird is sunset here in Laguna Beach. It's actually May 9th, recording this. I'm going to play the 12th. It's going to be fun. Sometimes we have an easy listening show. Should call up old Steve Barrett and get him on. Wow. Yeah, I was cruising after the Pleiades when that song went down. Did that 1987. Can you believe that? 87. Good grief. That's 20 years ago. Oh my God, I just realized I've aged 20 years. Whoa, we gotta talk about that in a few minutes. My goodness, it's 2007. I did that in 1987. Wow, on an 8-track recorder, believe it or not. Twice in the Cannes Film Festival and several European movies. They used it for a soundtrack, several of these songs. 20 years ago. It's time for a new album. Definitely time for a new one. I'm going to be playing tonight, as you hear this, is called Echo. A little different. It's on the album to get it. Ooh, there it goes. I think we're almost there. Makes me want to just go ahead and play music. I'm going to start doing live music on this show. I'm going to wire up the studio Saturday night and kick in. Surfing the edge of the universe. By the song. Freely I feel as we fly across the surface of era. That's called freely. We're going to start playing a lot more of that music if you want to. like the ship's about to land now, unfortunately. Every happy ending has to have an end, right, or a beginning. The Woody Blues plays that. Every happy ending has to have a start. That's how it was. That was my start when I wrote that song. I hope you don't consider the song an imposition on your listening time on Dr. Fred Bell's show. Oh, I love that song. I love playing that in concert. Maybe I'll come into your town someday and play it for you. Sometimes I get paid not to play. I get paid usually more money not to play than due to play. Ooh. Well, anyhow, welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, May 12, 2007. I'm in San Francisco tonight playing Echo, opening act, second phase in the big Sound Healing Center conference with lots of very, very well-known people. Even my old buddy Pat Flanagan will be here tonight. Anyway, welcome to the show. In absentia, I'm here. I never let my listeners down. I want to give you some fresh energy. This is actually being done live on Wednesday, May 9th. Now, can you believe that? I'm two places at once. That's what everybody thought. Yeah, Don wants me to put some more of that music up. That was in the film Cannes Film Festival, I think 2 or 3 years in a row. Somehow or other, I'm a David Hasselhoff, minus the alcohol and hamburgers, over in and custody fights with my daughter over in Europe. I mean, he was very famous over there, too. The song I'm going to be playing up there in San Francisco tonight will be called Echo. It's a strange little song. It starts out like boom, boom, boom. You have to hear these big booming sounds. And it's really cool. But when I went over there, I presented it to the University of Hamburg back in 1989, I forget when. I never played a concert before then, other than when I played clarinet in a concert running around with my high school band, you know. And that's, so I got to play my first concert, and with that out on it, I screwed it up royally, because I was scared to death. I didn't have any monitors up on the stage. Half the people were like, hated it, because I couldn't synchronize with myself, because they couldn't hear what I was doing. In other words, I'm playing the keyboards, but I can't hear anything. So try that sometime. How do you establish a beat? Well, I didn't. But at the very end, I know there's this guy at the University of Hamburg said, thanks for the ride, man. So at least I had one person in an audience of about 500 that liked it. Second concert, I had monitors, and it went off okay. And it was always funny because for so many years, was, you know, since high school. In fact, I was talking to a guy down in Pleasant Plains, Arkansas, where I lived for a year today, Stacy Kaplinger, who is the fire marshal down there and all that. We were talking about, God, you know, I was saying, where's old Von Seal Clark, man? You know, she's like my age now. She was the fox of the high school, junior high. That's when the government came and got me when I was 15. I said, she's still cute? And he says, yep, she's 63, and she's a fox today, and she's got 3 kids. You know, we just don't grow up anymore. It seems like yesterday I was in Pleasant Plains, Arkansas. And before that, Ann Arbor, Michigan, you know, doing all my University of Michigan stuff. So I was always lecturing. Down in Arkansas, I was teaching school. As I was, you know, I couldn't, there was nothing to learn from what they had to teach. So I ended up, you know, I'm the 11th grade teacher in the science class. Mr. Self was my instructor. So we've had a lot of fun the last 2 years. We're getting our archives up at BBS. We're expanding. Show's growing. Lots going on. World's falling apart. You know, normal stuff. That's how it goes. Normal stuff. World's falling apart. But I am glad that I have listeners. And once again, I really, really thank my Tampa Bay listeners and all the people down, the Floridians down there, because you guys, you know, get the direct link that we have at BBS, but you get it. And I know my Friday night show or Sunday night show, you hear it on Tuesdays a week later. So, you know, eventually we'll get all this. And all the other above-the-ground stations, thank you for carrying these shows. We really appreciate it. And even though, you know, my shows aren't all that much, some of these shows are really pretty good on this network. Anyway, tonight I just want to, it sounds like I'm going to reminisce, but I could get heavy at any moment. But tonight, it's like this. I'm listening to my voice and hearing myself. And I don't have a mirror, I'd be pruning myself. How's that? You know, there's no conceit in my family. I had it all. Anyway, makes good stuff. I like to be casual sometimes. So anyway, there's a few things I wanted to talk about tonight, but the music kind of set me off in another direction, but that's okay. I like going in other directions with the music. And I actually will start to, since I had to do this thing in San Francisco, I got ambushed into the show, which is great, because I don't know if I'd ever started playing music again or not. You know, I'd been too many years not doing it. That's 15 years. 15 years not on the road. You know, after the National Health Federation, 20 years, and running around doing whole life expos for another 10 years. That's 30 years out there, you know. And so I took 15 years off. Did occasional appearance here and there and a few TV shows and some radio on there at Bell, like every year. But now, I guess I'm going to go back. We're getting this little plane to fly around in, and I'm going to get out and see it. We're going to have a great seminar in June. And there's, you know, they're going to talk about a lot of interesting stuff. And I know that some of you have not listened to the early archives of BBS Radio with my 84, 83 shows on Whale Radio and K-Fox over in Long Beach. Whale was up in Maine or somewhere. And I did a lot of shows back in those days. I had a whole year of shows at Fox, at KFOX in Long Beach. One whole year worth of shows. They're all on BBS now. And I talked a lot about things that were going to happen in the future. And unfortunately, you know, not only did they happen in the future, but I underestimated what the totality and the volatility of what these shows were going to be. I mean, not the show. Yeah, what I was saying. And now we're getting up into some serious, serious government control. As you know, I've been working with a group in Congress again, sending petitions out to fight off the Codex Alimentarius network. You know, it's the FDA, once again, Food and Drug Administration, trying to slip a couple words in some of their labeling and some of their stuff, saying health care, and just little words where they end up taking away your freedom of health information. In other words, you can't go to the health food store and buy a vitamin. You have to go and buy it from a pharmaceutical company with a prescription. Now, one of the things that I said years ago, and I say it now, and I think that all of you out there want to have what I call life more abundant. You know, I think that Jesus used to run around saying that, life more abundant. Fifth kingdom stuff, you know. Anyway, the bottom line is, here's the root of the cause. Corellian photography is a science whereby, it was developed by S.D. Corellian at the last century back, 1890, in Russia. And what Corellian photography does is it grounds you out. In other words, you put your hand on a plate, a plastic or a glass plate, and there's a piece of silver oxide film below your hand, okay? Silver will conduct electricity. Hello. Silver chloride, actually. Not oxide, silver chloride. So, underneath the film is high voltage, okay? So your hand, imagine this, hand, and then film, then high voltage, okay? Now, how is the high voltage there? It is on a plate, a solid plate underneath, a solid plate, like a big plate. Just imagine, here, let's put it this way. Let's make it real simple. You have some lunch plates. You know how you go to lunch to a picnic? We got some 12-inch lunch plates, okay? First lunch plate, you know, you put that down, that's where your hand's going to go. Okay, under that lunch plate, we're going to have film surface. Then we're going to stick another lunch plate under that, okay? And under that lunch plate, we're going to have a high voltage source. And that will be sitting on the third lunch plate, okay? First one is hand, second is film, third is high voltage. Now what happens is when you turn on the high voltage, right, you've seen all these color spectral lines coming out. Okay, now this is real Corellian photography, not the whirling little mirror that you go to the you know, the New Age show, and somebody sits you down, takes a picture of your face, and behind you colors come up. That's not really what we do. I'm talking science stuff here, not, you know, if by chance we get a color behind you because we're whirling something in the background. I'm talking about brilliant photography. So when you turn the high voltage on, the high voltage is obviously going to go to the film, and then it's going to go up to your hand. What it's going to do is it goes up to your hand, it's going to look at all the meridians in the body, all the meridians, okay, the chi lines, the force lines, energy lines. What chi force does in your body is ground you. It's a grounding force. So effectively, you are ground. So the high voltage is conducting itself through the plate, the beautiful plate, the little, you know, the silver plate, the film, and you. And you are grounding it. So you're not generating anything. It's looking at ground. If you have blockages in your meridians, you will not conduct so many lines of energy. You won't see all those little things dancing off because there's no sparks coming, you know, it looks like coming out of your body, but they're actually coming into your body, not out. And they're grounding out in you. And then if you put your feet on the floor, you want to have your feet on the floor solid, preferably no shoes on. I know it sounds a little exciting, but it's how you, the more grounded you are to the earth, the better is the Krillian film. If you've got some thick-soled plastic tennis shoes on or rubber tennis shoes on, you're not going to ground out. You're not going to get all those little meridian lines showing up. So you really want to get your feet in the earth. You know, obviously, the best thing would be to have your feet in cement, you know, in the ground, and cement in the ground. You're cemented in your feet, and you're photographing through your hand. That would be the ultimate Carolian photography, as far as I'm concerned. So the bottom line is the grounding lines, which are the chief chi, always moves around ground, okay? Because remember, the brain produces electricity. We've talked about that lots and lots of times. If you want to learn more about that, come to my seminar in June. But the brain is producing electricity at the electrolyte level of the brain. So when the brain is producing electricity, it then sends the electricity through 72,000 major nerve centers called nadis down through the spinal cord and out, of course, to the hand. Now, there are little wires in your hand, little nerves in your hand that connect back to the spinal cord, back to the brain, and back to all the different points in your body because everything is interconnected. However, when you are toxic or you're short-circuited or you have blockages, what happens is your grounding energies aren't going to be there, and that's what Carolian photography shows us, where the grounding lines are. The life force in our bodies generates grounding lines. Everybody thinks that the life force is emanating something that shows up on Carolian photography. It's not. It's showing up the high voltage that's present as it grounds itself through your body. The better your body grounds, the more electricity you conduct, the bigger the spark, and the greater the spectral region of the colors are. That's how it works. That's called life force. So, getting back to the original subject, when we take vitamins, let's say we take a vitamin C, and we place it in this Carolian camera. Now, when we place vitamin C in there, it's not grounded. You know, I mean, here we had our feet on the ground. Where is the ground on vitamin C? It's uphill. You know, I'm talking about natural vitamin C. It's uphill. It doesn't ground to the earth. It grounds to the atmosphere that you have it in. It grounds to the immediate etheric area that it's around. So naturally, we're going to jack up the voltage a heck of a lot more to look at vitamin C. In other words, we're going to have to cause it to ionize. We don't have to ionize our hand because we're grounded, but we're going to have to ionize the vitamin C. And how does it ionize? Well, that means we're going to elevate it voltage-wise way above ground until it gets so high in voltage that it grounds out on something. And what's it going to ground out on? The air. It grounds out on the atmosphere. So vitamin C is going to demonstrate its grounding abilities with a much higher voltage than we used on our hands into the air. And so therefore, we're going to get a coronal spectral discharge. And we'll get one because vitamin C has life, or any vitamin has life, and we're going to see that it's actually emanating because it's stimulated by this electricity, and it's emanating, it's stimulating, it's grounding energies because all vitamins do is ground your body. They provide more grounds for different frequencies, different colors, all that kind of stuff. The new book, Inside Track, covers this. Anyway, we're grounding it out. Now, let's go and get a drug company. Let's just say pharmaceutical X company just came in, and they said, okay, well, we have a vitamin C. We have a synthetic vitamin C. Okay, let's have that. Okay, so what happens is we take a synthetic vitamin C, we remove our other vitamin C, and we put the synthetic vitamin C in our camera, and we crank the voltage up like crazy. It, you know, discharges through the vitamin into the air. The film is recording the discharge. And guess what? You're not going to see anything because it won't discharge. You'll have to crank it so high that hardly anything is going to be apparent, because a synthetic vitamin does not have any grounding abilities in the human DNA or anywhere else. So what does that mean? Well, that means you don't want the synthetic vitamin C. It's not very good. Now, next experiment is very simple. We take a vitamin C, and we take a natural vitamin C, and we take a synthetic vitamin C, and we place them together in the Curlian camera. What you'll now see is that if we leave them there for a length of time, the synthetic vitamin C will start to suck the energy out of the natural vitamin C, to a point where they're about 50-50. The sucking stops about the time that the vitamin C, the natural one, has got half its toric discharge into the atmosphere, and the synthetic has the other half. So that means that the synthetic vitamin has assimilated half of the natural frequency, the life-giving forces, the grounding forces, of the natural. So now you have half natural, half synthetic. So what does that mean? Well, we repeal the DASHA Act, and we allow the drug companies to take over, and you get to pay $100 every time you want to, you know, get a vitamin prescription from a doctor. And then what you do is you go down to the pharmacy, and they fill it with synthetics, and you take these synthetic vitamins, whether it be vitamin E, vitamin A, or whatever it is, into your body, and it just sucks out the rest of the natural life force and helps you die faster. That's what they're trying to put through. Isn't that simple? Secondly, let's jump over to, you know, back when I was working on the Global 2000 report, and everybody here listening to me tonight, unless you're at the concert in San Francisco, everybody should be going on the internet and downloading as much information as you can for the Global 2000 report to the president, done during Jimmy Carter's time and released during Ronald Reagan's time. I was one of the people that helped sell these things through all the government printing office bookstores. Once the government ran out of these printings, this is back when we could get some truth out of the government during Carter's time and Reagan's time, some truth could be released. And during that time, this Global 2000 report, there's four volumes. You want the first volume, that's the condensed one. Clearly stated, you know, all of the things in pollution that we're dealing with now. It was very clearly stated. So the bottom line is, you can go to Amazon.com, and there have been many rewrites by, you know, doctors and writers of the Global 2000 report. Even though you can't get the original one, you can now get the reprinted ones in different forms with different interpretations, but they're all pretty good. Bottom line of that is this. It talks about depopulation, population control, starting with the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy that came up in 1981 in the Executive Intelligence Review magazine out of Washington, D.C., which was a Lyndon LaRoche publication. And it said by the year 2010. Okay, now what year is this? Let's see. Last year was 2006. This year is 2007. That's 3 years from now, right? Actually, 2.5 years from now. By 2010, there would be over 10 billion people on this planet, which is the maximum this planet can support. I also saw today a video about immigration, where we used to allow about 500,000 people in this country, and now we allow 1 million every year. And if you look at each person, these million people immigrants to this country coming in every year, by the year 7 years from now, they will be so overpopulated that we won't even be able to get on the highways anymore. There'll be so many cars and so much traffic, and the land will be running out of tillable land. We won't have it anymore. And then let's say why would we have immigration? Well, immigration would be here because people want to come and have a better life. Well, we want everybody to have a better life. But we only represent 4% of the world's population. And so we're supposed to support the other 96%. It's not going to happen. It won't work. Because by the time that we support these several millions of offsprings that these several millions of people come in over the next 10 years, the other will probably be 2% of the world's population, overpopulated with all of the problems that they had, now we have. So what has to happen is we need to get out there and educate the rest of the world and get the rest of the world self-sufficient. And this is not to, you know, we love immigrants. My grandparents were immigrants, for gosh sakes, you know, from Scotland and Germany. But it's not going to solve the problem of why people are immigrating. People come here because they want better jobs, you know, more freedoms, blah, blah, blah. We've got to bring that out to the world instead of going out and starting wars in Iraq and everywhere and possibly Iran next. We need to, you know, educate. We need to send educators out there. We need to, as much money as we've spent in Iraq, you know, in that war, had we spent that many, many $30, $40 billion, $50 billion, which are approaching now, killed 4,000 Americans coming up. I think it was 3,300 the other day. Without killing maybe more than one or two people in normal accidents, we could have taken the same amount of money, made the world a better place. Everybody would love us. Terrorism would go away. Because, you know, anybody that was terrorism to us, we're taking care of their country, getting them to, you know, educated and put them to work, and get them crops put in. Those countries would go after the terrorists. The terrorists would be on the run, not us. This whole world's upside down. And that would solve the population problems. People would get interested. People would get educated. And the population, you know, division would slow way down. This is such simple stuff. This is very simple stuff. If people would think it through. And everybody would be millionaires. Everybody. Everybody would become, well, you know, very wealthy. We wouldn't have to worry about the dollar diving against the euro, for example. I remember I made some purchases over in Holland about last August, and I didn't pay the whole bill off. I was paying it in payments, you know, some stuff I bought. And at the time I bought it, the dollar was, I think, a dollar, and the euro was probably $1.10, you know, 10% higher. As I come to the balance of my contract, it's 20% higher. So I ended up paying 20% more since last August, less than a year ago, on some purchases that I made in Holland, 20% more than the original contract because I didn't pay it off. I've been paying the euro, you know, I make my payment every, you know, month over there, and the euro just keeps rising, the dollar keeps falling, and I've had to pay several thousands of dollars more than I would have paid if I just paid it all off last August. That's kind of sad, but that's true. I remember when I was living in Germany and doing lectures and concerts and seminars over there, the mark was 60 to 70% of the dollar. So I could go into a restaurant in Germany and have a fabulous dinner, take two or three of my friends, have fabulous fun, spend 120, 150 marks, $75. Okay, now if I did the same thing over there, I'd spend $120 euro, and I'd be out 200. That's a 50% increase. It just doesn't make any sense. The next area, population, you know, depopulation, population control. It's pathetic. There's two areas that that I want to look at right now. One is the Magellan's disease. I've studied that. I've joined this group that's, I guess it was about 9,000 strong, to combat it, because I understand what it is and how it works quite a bit more probably than some of the people that are involved with it. And I've actually talked to people that have it. And of course, the American Medical Association wants nothing to do with it because it's something that's not biochemical. It has to do with implants. I've done some studies with some local people that actually have it here locally. I've interfaced with patients with it now, and I've seen how it works a little bit. And it's very interesting. Very interesting. If you were to look at in the 70s, when they were abducting humans, you know, they were abducting cows and sheep, and still do, and coring them, we call that coring them, removing vital organs, usually sexual organs, with a laser-type cutting tool that does a precision cut, which leaves no blood on the ground, no tracks going up to the carcass of the animal. The eyes are removed. Certain special critical organs are removed. Why? Because the removing parties need the biochemical substance to A, live on, and to do research with and produce other kinds of things that go into humanity that are not what humans really want to have in their systems. Okay, that's the beginning of it. Secondly, what I find is that most of the people that seem to have it have been abducted at some point and implanted. Several of them are aware that they've had this happen to them. And under hypnosis, this comes out. Because in part of the procreating process that these particular individuals that are doing all this nasty stuff, they want to commingle with the human race. So the human race is no big deal to them, and the government doesn't seem to really care about it because, you know, they've traded their weaponry and all their fancy technology to have the right to abduct human beings. Now, the original treaty was made back during an Eisenhower's time when he was when the Greys originally landed at Muroc Field, and I think it was 1951 or 52 in February. And if you look the records up, I think Eisenhower was supposed to be in Palm Springs getting dental work, but that's another story. Bottom line was he wasn't. He was out there making a treaty with the Greys. And in the process of that, they were still abducting, permanently abducting human beings. But the government came down on the Greys to the point where 1979 was the last year that human abductions took place where they were permanently removed off the face of the earth. They just disappeared. After that, this didn't happen anymore. I know that not to be true because when I was working with the Hickory Apaches out in Dulce, New Mexico, and I did two filming sessions out there, one with Jim Dillatoso on a film crew, another with a guy named Joel Randazzo in a magazine that was out for a number of years called UFO Review, and then a couple of independent things that I did on my own. I know that the kids out there, teenagers and that I hung out with, were scared to death to leave the reservation at night. And the reservation consists of a Best Western Inn that's like a little miniature Hilton in the town of Dulce, which is a very beautiful place, and then there's a gas station and the places where the kids go. But at night, they don't want to leave the reservation because they disappear. And this has happened fairly recently. So that leads me to believe that the abductions are happening in alien nations because the Native American populated places where they congregate and their reservations are considered alien nations, and the government could care less. So I guess the Greys get away with that. Bottom line is that once these people get implanted, their body starts to deal in colonies. It deals in colonies. First of all, also understand how an implant is done. An implant is, once again, now you know at Peridon, we do a lot of work with a hologram. Well, we're not the only ones. The Greys do a lot of work with a hologram. And what happens is the victim is taken aboard a spaceship, placed in a chamber. They're strapped down to on a bed in a small, usually in a disc craft, sometimes a mothership. And what happens is they project a beam with a mechanical design into their heads. So there's like a radiation modulated form of a hologram being, it's almost like a visual image. And that's not so far out. I mean, in the old days when we were designing a lot of the Peridon products, we would take a helium cadmium laser, we would modulate it with a computer image into a solution, a special plastic solution, in a tank. And pretty soon that plastic solution would heat up where the rays of the beams of the where the beams are coming down from helium cadmium laser from a HECAD program. That's what the programs were, and we would have a solid object. Big manufacturing companies like Ford and Chevy and, you know, Ferrari, all these companies, let's say they need a distributor cap for a new model. So they make the image of the distributor cap into a computer. They project it into a solution via a helium-cadmium laser. It solidifies in the solution. They come up with a plastic prototype of a part, which they can now cast into sand or whatever they want to do with it. The technology is getting old, but that's how it's been done for quite a while. So that when you do the same thing with human beings, what we're doing here is we're putting an integrated circuit into their heads, okay? And what we're doing for the material, instead of having a solution in a chemical bath, we're using the actual minerals in the human body, okay? Because remember, all of the elements of the universe are in the human brain and in the different parts of the human body in what's called trace minerals. So we're organizing the trace minerals in the body in the form of an implant. Well, in the process of the experimentation, okay, a lot of these people did not successfully take on the complete version of the implant. So what happened is the implant, what they would have normally had to control that human being or to make them do funny things, maybe go out and break a law so they could regulate a constitutional freedom later on down the stream, which is part of how this implant stuff works. What happened was these implants didn't take in a lot of people. And so they upset the DNA in the DNA regions. And when this happened, it caused the body to start growing or re-extracting the genetic structure of the human body, producing these little things called rods in different colors. So you'll see this little bit of a mass that excretes out of a lesion in somebody. This be a colored mass, and you'll see these tentacles coming out. And these tentacles are DNA like hairs that have gone amok because of the failure of this process in the human beings. And there's a lot of these failures out there, and there's so many of them out there now, they've labeled it into a disease. We can combat that disease. We can go in and genetically, and by the way, once one of these people contacts the disease, they're not left alone. They are monitored. They are monitored by the aliens. They're monitored by certain factions in our secret government, and they're actually monitored now to see what happens. And I've worked directly with a few people, and when one of these people takes a bath, you don't want to bathe in that bath water again, believe me. It's pathetic what comes out of their body. You know, it's pathetic. And so they monitor them, and people obviously become very suicidal. It ruins your life. It steals their energy, and these horrible things come out of these sores in your body that have these blue hairs and red hairs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, called Magellan's disease. What we have found to combat it is we have to use, first thing that we do is we have a product that we use called Pirlo. It's a highly organized trace mineral with vitality. A lot of trace minerals on the market, like from the Great Salt Lake and that, are basically organically dead. This is not organically dead. This is organically alive. So we get the body taking and saturating large amounts of trace minerals that are good for the body, that are organic, that cannot be modulated by the grays and by these extraterrestrial factions. Because when the person is not putting these trace minerals in their body, the disease is basically, they can keep it at certain levels. They can turn it up a notch, and they can make it become more uncomfortable by increasing its DNA productivity, or they can slow it down. They can go either way with it, because the people with the disease are being affected by this outside frequency, this outside force. Now, when we introduce the trace minerals, what happens is it shuts down the modulating extraterrestrial source that makes it grow. So but that's not enough. Then we have to put a shield up. And what we find is our nuclear receptor, which is a Pleiadian device, which is totally alien to the negative aliens' frequencies. So the nuclear receptor and the projector repel the energy that's coming to make this Magellan's disease grow, and as a result, it starts to go away. So, we can get rid of it. Now, how do we present that to the world? You don't, because the world out there doesn't even people with a disease that I've run in contact, most of them, some of them know what it is, but it seems that their main artery the main artery of intelligentsia that's out there, you know, fighting this, hasn't got a clue and doesn't even seem to want to know what it really is all about. Second thing, it's fed by another source. Now we're finding out from these chemtrails that there are a lot of blood samples, human blood 6, I think it's called human blood 6, which is a powdered form that's released into the atmosphere in these chemtrails. There's a lot of bromine, there's a lot of other toxic chemicals. All of these chemtrails are now out there doing two things. One, cutting down the amount of solar energy to the planet. Remember, the solar energy builds your DNA, builds your immune system, produces vitamin D on the surface of the skin so that you can assimilate calcium so that you won't have heart problems. These chemtrails now appear to be damaging the body's natural immunity progress and putting it on the retard. So once again, it's a secret kind of a notion by our secret kind of guys out there and girls or whatever to knock down our immune systems even more, to retard our consciousness even more. So look for other diseases like Magellan's disease. There's going to be several different things out there. That's just the beginning. And as I said back in my radio shows in 82, 83, 84, we're just on the tip of the iceberg. We haven't even begun to get into it yet. Thank God, in my time, in my training, in the years that I've spent with Semyasi and the Pleiadians and Liara, started with Liara. Good God, it's probably 10 years with her now in the Andromedans. They've at least educated us, warned us about these things that would come. Therefore, when they came, it was no surprise, and now we are learning how to deal with them and how to repel them, and we will win. But a lot of people, a lot of souls out there will be out of their bodies for a while because, unfortunately, the world, the Orthodox world, does not want them, will block the progress for them to learn anything. So everything is blocked. I mean, government, 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 regulation, regulation, regulation. It's kind of sad. Now, going forward on the inner side of life, well, what's not being blocked is we're getting a heck of a lot of great information from positive extraterrestrials about how to behave, and Paradigm itself is going through a major growth right now, which I'm just blown away by watching it, of acceptance. You know, it's not about financial growth. It's there, but I mean, it's about acceptance. The financial thing is fine because it keeps the company alive, but we're seeing acceptance. And it's you, our listening audience, that's spreading the word. We're in 104 countries now, maybe even 105. I know it's surprising, like Paraguay, United Kingdom, Germany. Australia is another big, big listener of this show. And hi down there, you Aussies. I almost want to live down there. You guys have so much countryside that we used to have up here in Orange County and Laguna Beach. We used to have great old orange groves and everything. Unfortunately, we ain't got that stuff no more. Yeah, you guys have it all. You just got to get your government to allow automobile importation and stuff so that the tariff's not so high. I hear you got a really high import tax down there because I've sold some Corvettes down there because, as you know, I do a little bit of exotic car dealing on the side. I've been doing it for 40 years. I ain't going to stop now. But don't drive them much. Don't pollute the air much. Our cars, you know, this is the other thing that was a big scam. I pushed on the Art Bell show, and I pushed all over on this show, many shows, all over Canada years ago, 20 years ago. Let's get rid of gasoline. Let's get the hemp oil in. That's what we used to run this country on. Let's bring it back. Well, finally, ethanol, somebody got a spark, you know, somewhere along the way, and ethanol is on its way back in now. It's going to be up to 15% on our fuel supply, which is wonderful. We should have done this 30 years ago. But still, ethanol, they're not getting it from the right source. You know, corn doesn't produce oxygen when you grow it in the ground, but hemp plants produce 400% more oxygen than a tree. So if we want to lower the carbon dioxide level and kick up the oxygen levels, now remember this. Here's a lot of people where a lot of people are missing it, and that is here. The carbon dioxide levels go up, right? Well, what do you think the oxygen levels are going to do? They're not going up. They're going down. So that means your brain isn't as going to get the oxygen. You know what happens when you take oxygen out of the brain, right? The brain goes to sleep. The brain becomes a drain. And pretty soon, you don't have a brain. You know, in any kind of an accident of drowning or loss of consciousness for any period of time where the heart is temporarily stopped or impeded or something is going on with the lungs, what do we worry about? Brain damage. It's always brain damage. It's always brain damage. That's what, you know, CPR is all about. Keep the oxygen back to the brain so the brain doesn't quit. Oh, yeah, brain damage. Now, if the carbon dioxide level is going up, obviously the oxygen level is going down. So that means we have brain damage. We don't have catastrophic brain damage. We've got minutia brain damage on a subtle level, along with, I just love to throw this one in, cell phones. It takes 10 to 15 years to develop a tumor. I think I had up on BBS Radio, we don't have it permanently archived, a simple European experiment done in Germany, I think the University of Hamburg, actually. One egg, two cell phones. Cell phones turned on, transmitting. You know, they just turn them on like they're going to talk. Okay, nobody's talking on them, they're just on. And in 45 minutes, you have a hard-boiled egg. Okay, think about that. Uncooked egg with eggshell. Two cell phones. You know, I make a call. I don't talk on it, but a call is there. It's open. If I said something across the room, it would transmit. Both phones have made a call somewhere, doesn't matter where, but they're transmitting. You don't have to say anything. They're transmitting. They're putting out the radiation. They're going to a cell site. Egg sitting between cell phone. 45 minutes later, cooked egg. Does that get through to anyone? Been done, been proven. We've shown it on BBS Radio and our science archives and blah, blah, blah. Now, 45 minutes on a cell phone. Okay, so let's take one cell phone. Okay, let's go 90 minutes, one cell phone. Or let's go 200 minutes, one cell phone on the head, side of the head. The eggshell is not much thicker than the skull, okay? A little bit. So we'll go 400 minutes. Okay, not 90 minutes, two cell phones, 400 minutes, one cell phone. Now, how many of you out there in a month have 2,000, 3,000 minutes on a cell phone? 1 month, okay? 12 months out of the year. What's going on with your brain? Okay, you get the picture. You will soon. Cell phones really, really, really took off around, looking back, I'd say mid-90s. I mean, I had one earlier than that. It was a great big giant one. It looked like a walkie-talkie. That was probably back in the 80s. But I think with me is I've always shielded myself from the danger of cell phone energy by using a nuclear receptor, which is proven to negate the effects of radiation on the body, or B, my plan on my cell phone probably isn't 100 minutes a month. I rarely use them. I use it for emergencies, which I don't need it much, and maybe I make a 50 or a 60 second call. You know, I just don't use them. And if I was going to use it every day, I would use what's called a headset. A headset is a device that goes on your head, and then it connects up to the cell phone, which you're wearing around your waist. Therefore, the radiation is at a lower part of your body and not going to do as much damage, okay? So anyway, that was a quick show tonight. We're going to be going out here in a second. I'm going to put a little bit more music on. Sorry you're not with us at the conference and listening to all the beautiful music we're going to be playing up here and demonstrating. But I do hope that I will see you at my seminar in June. And once again, I do thank you all for making this a great show. And with that, we're going to be closing out the show with the very beginning of the fellowship. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love all of you out there. I hope I'm not too hard on you. I'll get harder next time. I want you to. I want to keep you healthy. I want to keep your families alive. I'm so tired of having to help people with cancer and families with cancer. There's so much of it out there, and it's such a stupid disease. Nobody should have it. I'll talk to you next week. Bye. You've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show at bbsradio.com and www.1340tantalkradio.com from Florida and of course, Paradise Valley, California. Please enjoy the show tomorrow night. The seminar series will continue with the next episode tomorrow night, which will be the 13th. Until then, until next week, this is Dr. Fred Bell with Health, Science, and Energy Show, and thanks for making this my life. Bye.